Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Hack the Entrepreneur is supported by CityCards with Android Pay. Listening on your phone? Now you can pay while you listen, using the same device. Just tap and go. Download the Android Pay app on Google Play or visit city.com/AndroidPay to get started. Android Pay is available for eligible Citi consumer credit and debit cards.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today has started several successful businesses, written 3 books, is a motivational speaker, and has consulted with companies in several different industries. He coaches teams and businesses on the actions required in order to grow. As a result, he is known as the entertainer, educator, and consultant of choice for America's leading companies. My guest is the founder of Thrive 15, an online education and practical training platform for entrepreneurs, which is taught by millionaires, mentors, and everyday success stories. Now, let's hack Clay Clark. Before we get rolling here, I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Braintree. I know you remember the first dollar you made in business. It's a hard thing to forget. It's one of the greatest parts of being an entrepreneur. And now you want to grow until your business makes your millionth or billionth dollar. But have you found the right payments partner to grow with you? Braintree lets you accept every way to pay, from PayPal to Apple Pay and everything in between. All it takes is one simple integration. And it doesn't matter what currency your customers use, because Braintree lets you accept over 130 of them. To learn more about how you and your company can grow with Braintree, visit BraintreePayments.com/hack. That's BraintreePayments.com/hack. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have an excellent guest today, Clay. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate you for having me on there, my friend.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. All right, let's just jump straight into this. Clay, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I would say that I am a ridiculously fastidious manager of time. And if I could go like for 1.5 things, I would say I'm a very, very detailed manager of time. And I spend a lot of that time studying successful entrepreneurs. So it saves me a lot of time.
Nice. So ridiculously fastidious in your management of time.
Yes.
Have you always been this way, or is this something you've had to sort of work on?
It is something that I have learned how to do. I have really reached out to the top performers. And this is one of the things that blew my mind, is it occurred to me, you know, that Oprah, or let's say Lee Cockerell, who used to manage 40,000 employees as the head of Walmart, or as the head of Walt Disney World. You know, so you got a guy who manages Disney World, and you got Oprah, and then let's throw in, like, let's go with a guy by the name of Michael Levine. He's a big PR expert. He used to be the PR guy for Nike. And so if I look at those three people and I say, how do these people have more time than I have? Because, you know, it would appear to me that they do, because I'm a, you know, 22-year-old guy looking at these super successful people, and I'm saying, I can't even get to the dry cleaner and get to the bank and return calls. How are these people able to manage 40,000 employees? Or how are they able to, you know, do all these things and manage all these contacts? And I begin to realize that time management is one of the things they do that nobody else really does. They're very, very focused on it. And so I began to meet these people, study them, get to become friends with a lot of these success stories. And I asked them, how do you manage your time? And one by one, I learned and basically took those principles and applied them to my life. And now I have very rigid time management rules that I do. And it really, really has made the biggest impact in my life.
Nice. And you're sure Oprah and Lee Cockerell don't have like an 8th day or 9th day in a week?
Well, I'm not an expert of the space-time continuum, but according to Doc Brown, they might be able to do that. I'm not exactly sure.
Oprah could probably buy an eighth day if she wants.
That's right. She probably could. That's what you if you whenever you buy a house in Santa Barbara, they give you the eighth day as part of the deal. It's special.
Nice. So you're a 22-year-old entrepreneur at this point.
Well, I guess I was referring to when I was, you know, starting my entrepreneurial career.
Oh, okay. I was
going to I'm 34 now. Nice. But when I really got into this quest of success, so to speak, when I got serious about it, I was, you know, 20 years old. I was 20 years old. I was Entrepreneur of the Year for the city of Tulsa. You know, they have a big chamber of commerce here, and I was the guy. And people were like, man, you're so great. You know, you're DJ, a DJ entertainment company. And we DJed clubs and weddings. And so if you were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you knew who I was because I'd probably DJed at your bat mitzvah or you saw me at a club or saw me at a wedding or I was the guy. But yet secretly behind the scenes, I felt overstressed, overworked. I felt like I was always behind. I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. And I was making a lot of money, but I wasn't able to manage my life, you know? And so I really, really began the quest to start studying time management. And that's really what I attribute a lot of the success I've been able to have over the years to.
Excellent. So 20 years old, you win Entrepreneur of the Year for a DJ company.
Yeah.
I want to know sort of, let's go back before that to when this started. Because there seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this big, big thing difference in the world. Or, as seems to mostly be the case, they simply find they can't work for somebody else. So, Clay, could you tell me which of these two you fall into and when, before you were 20, you discovered this about yourself?
Well, I don't want to be the surly guest at all. So I think your question was totally, totally rational and makes a lot of sense. I would just say that I had maybe like option three, maybe.
Okay, nice.
I just knew that I had a bigger vision for my life. And I knew that to do that, those goals, to do the things I felt like I was called or like I had a vision to do, it would cost me roughly $150,000 a year to do it. And so I wanted to make sure that I could earn $150,000 a year in a legal and ethical way that added value to many people. And so that's kind of where it started for me.
How did you come up with $150,000 a year?
I work with a lot of CEOs and managers where their business is stuck and they hire me to come in and help them grow. And I sit down with people, and this is kind of my process, but I say, hey, what are your goals for your life for the next year? Let's say you're only allowed one more year to live. What are the things you want to do over this next year? And most people kind of have that initial pushback of, well, that's a stupid exercise. And I say, listen, my best friend got killed in a car accident. My father developed stage 4 cancer out of the blue. We could all list the unexpected things that life throws at us. Let's just have a sense of reverence for our life for a second, and let's play the game that we only have a year left. Write down all the things we want to do during that year. And then next to them, I want you to put how much it costs. And people say, well, it doesn't cost anything to spend time with my kids. And I say, well, you know, actually it does, because your mortgage is what your mortgage is. And if you're going to take a day off, you still have to pay the mortgage or whatever your costs are. So let's figure it out. And I just sat down and I did this process, and I ended up discovering that, you know, it was about $150,000 a year for me to have five kids. I have five kids. And for my wife and I are kind of a organic, cage-free, you know, kind of people. Mm-hmm. And the cage-free chickens, you know. Yeah. And I just knew that for me to have five kids, to be able to afford the lifestyle we wanted to live, to travel how we want to travel, to be able to hire the private teachers we want to hire for them, and to be able to have our family over every Sunday for family days, to be able to hire, you know, personal trainers, and to be able to have the NFL direct ticket package so I can watch every single New England Patriots game possible, I'm going to have about $150,000 a year. And so that's where I started.
I love it. It's so thorough. And I mean, you're right. If I had 1 year left, what would I want to do? It's a great sort of take on how to deal with your business. Otherwise, your business obviously can end up running you.
Yeah, right now, just a mindset that I have that I never really get too far from is that I am going to plan like I'm going to live forever. You know, I'm going to have that mindset of like, I'm going to, you know, save money, and I'm going to be fastidious about time management, and but at the same time, I'm going to have the reverence for every day, viewing that it could be my last. And so I really, really, really do not spend any part of my day involved in what I would call the dark art of jackassery. I try to avoid jackassery. So if there's a meeting, like if someone in my office says, hey, can we have a meeting? I immediately ask myself, is this the highest and best use of my time? And if it's not, I refuse to go to the meeting. That's just how I am.
Nice. The dark art of jackassery. I think we have the title for the episode.
It's a black hole. It's a black hole of time suck. It sucks like a Hoover. It will suck like a Dyson. It just pulls you in. If you are not intentional, if you don't have one, I really do believe this. And I'm telling you, I've met the founder of like Hobby Lobby. I've met George Foreman. I mean, I've interviewed these guys. I've had them on our Thrive15.com. It's been amazing. I mean, I know these people. And all of them either have it on a physical piece of paper or they have it someplace prominent. They have their goals written down. And if what they're doing right now doesn't get them towards their goals, most of them will hop out of the meeting. They just won't be there.
Yeah. Can we always do that? Like, do we have to be the CEO of a multi-million dollar company to be able to have the power and control of our lives to do that? But if we're just starting out, do we not have to do sort of everything that comes across our plate and everything that all the jackassery that is involved in starting a business?
Yeah. Well, let me give you an example. If someone's listening to this right now, and let's say they work at a company, they work at a big company. Let's say the company has 500 employees. Someone else is listening to your program right now who works at a company with 2,000 employees, and they're somehow they're an employee. Then you're somebody else listening to this, and you are the owner of your own company, and it is a plumbing company. Okay, so you got three option A, B, and C. A is the employee, B is the employee in the massive company, and C is the plumber guy. In all three cases, you have to ask yourself, am I working in an organization that shares the values and shares the beliefs that I have? So as an example, I could not ever under any circumstance work for certain companies because it would cause me dissonance because their corporate ethics don't agree with what I do. So I started out early in my career doing construction. Well, construction, I mean, I was digging holes, man, because I had no discernible skills. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the only English-speaking guys on my crew, right? And I did poured concrete. And I did that because I had no money, no skills, no degree, no connections. So I was working construction, but I knew where I was going. I was not engaged in jackassery. I knew where I was going. And so every week I made $10 an hour and I could work up to 80 hours a week on the crew if I wanted to. And I would typically earn about $1,100 a week, typically after bonuses and stuff. I decided that I was going to save 20% of every dollar I make. So I set 20% aside. And then I took 10% of it and I, you know, tithed and gave to my church and certain things that I was into. And I lived as cheaply as possible. I had, you know, roommates and the whole thing. And even though I was doing a job that wasn't personally fulfilling, I was getting closer to where I wanted to go. So that at the end of a 2-year window of time, I was able to fully engage in the starting of a business that I was excited about. So if you're an employee right now and you're in a company and you're working there and you're going, I don't find this job to be too emotionally or fulfilling, as satisfactory as a career. That's okay. But the question I would have is, are you engaged in jackassery? Are you living in an apartment that you can't really afford? Are you having a house do you own a house that's too big? Are you getting sucked into someone else's American dream? Because what's your dream? And if on your sheet of paper, you say, my dream is to travel once a month, then you might need to get a roommate and reduce your cost of living. Or you might need to carpool. Or you might need to, I mean, there's endless things you might need to do, but we need to make sure that we're not engaged in the process of just churning and burning and just working a ton of hours and spending money on consumer debt or stupid things that we don't need. And then we don't have the money that we really need for the things we want. Does that kind of make sense to you?
That actually makes so much sense. The fact that you work construction mm-hmm. as pouring concrete.
Yeah.
I told you, I just moved like to this new office. We moved across the country 2 days ago, my family, for the summer, we moved to Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yeah.
Where I lived 6 years ago. And I worked construction here. And I just walked to Starbucks this morning before starting work from my condo now that I can afford.
Yeah.
And to Starbucks. And there's just construction everywhere and all these people. And I was like, I could exactly picture myself 6 years ago doing that. And the only way I got out of it was to live super cheaply for like 2 years to build a business that I could now do what I, and now I don't have to live cheaply anymore. But that's crazy how much that has to do. Like, people always wonder when they have this expensive job, but they never get ahead. And I've actually heard the idea that, I mean, the higher paying job you have, the harder it is actually to get out of, because as you get paid more, you typically increase your expenses even more.
That's right.
And so,
well, you know, here's the thing right now. Somebody asked me the other day at a speaking event, I think I'm doing a speaking event in Vancouver. I'm pretty sure I am in the next couple of months. I'm pretty sure. But
nice.
So I had a speaking event. The guy comes over to me and he says, "Hey, really impressed with your talk. My wife and I are having a hard time getting ahead." And the talk was on search engine optimization, you know? And he says, "I love the principles. I want to apply it." He's the head of the company. He says, "But my wife and I, we're just kind of struggling to get ahead. How do you, you know, what's your tip?" I said, "Buddy, my goal is I want to buy 20 silky chickens. They're kind of like chickens. They're kind of like diva chickens. You know, they're chickens that are, they kind of snuggle with you like a dog or something.
Yeah.
They're the opposite of like a cat chicken. I mean, they're very a dog. They're very, you know, wanting to hang out with you, snuggle with you." And I said, "I want to buy 20 chickens and I want to plant 50 fruit trees. And I'm in the process of buying a foreclosure on 9 acres. And he's like, "What does this have to do with my question?" And I said, "Everything. You know what it's going to cost me per month to maintain that lifestyle if I close on this particular house?" And the guy was like, "No." I said, "Nothing. That's what's crazy, is my actual costs based on the fruit and the eggs that my family would produce, you know, say, versus what we spend on groceries currently with a family of five, and based on the price I was going to buy it for, and based on all the variables, and there's two properties on it that I can rent out to people, I have no costs. I am like a net neutral, you know, guy." And I said, "So even though my wife and I we've earned great income and we've been blessed beyond what I deserve, we're constantly trying to drive down our costs. Why? Because I want to reduce my carbon footprint? No, even though it's probably a good thing. It's because I just don't want to have overhead. I want to wake up every day." Now, this is where it comes full circle. But I want to wake up every day and being able to have enough of what I would call, and I want to be careful because there's probably someone listening to this who shares my religious faith, but I call it go to hell money. Mm-hmm. And so somebody listening to this might say, "But I thought you were a Christian. You can't call it go to hell money." Well, okay, it's screw off money or whatever you want to call it. But the point is, when I am working with a consulting client or I'm doing a speaking event, and if someone were to schedule me and they're just being, or I call them an ask hole, A-S-K, ask hole, but they are practicing the dark art of Jack Assery by asking me all the time to do things, wasting my time. I simply pick up the phone, boop, 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 and I say, "Hey, such and such, you know, I really appreciate you, but I don't ever want to work with you or talk to you again. So moving forward, let's wrap up what we were working on. But moving forward, I never want to talk to you, work with you again. Just delete, boop, you know what I mean?" And so I don't have any, I'm not stuck in a job I don't like. I'm not stuck with employees that drive me crazy. I have a team of people. We all get along. And I'm very into that Tony Hsieh, Zappos, pursuit of happiness mindset.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say that every day, I love every moment of every day and everything I do with every person.
That's awesome. And it's because you took control and you take control every day of your time and getting rid of the dark art of jackassery.
Boom. Yeah.
I love it.
Gotta get rid of it.
All right. So we talked about you and your ridiculous time management skills. Every blog post now, every expert talks about the 80-20 rule, right?
Yep.
They say, do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Do the 20%, they'll provide 80% of the value.
Yeah.
Clay, can you tell us something that you are not good at in your business?
I'll give you an example. I don't really give a crap about my birthday or anyone else's birthday. I don't care. You know, maybe I have a problem. I probably have a psychological disorder, but I just don't care. And I furthermore don't really care about how I feel sometimes. I just care about what needs to be done. So as an example, this morning I set my alarm, and I'm not making this up. I woke up this morning at about 3 a.m., not because I wanted to, but because I had a great, great meeting with a wonderful, wonderful longtime friend who's kind of one of my life heroes who's flying into town today. And then I had a wonderful podcast here scheduled with yourself. And I have all these great things on my schedule, and there wasn't enough time. And so what I had to do is I had to set my alarm early. I had to set that alarm early. And I had to choose today, okay, I'm going to get up today at 3. I knew that going into it. I'm going to get up today at 3. And between 3 a.m. and 9 a.m., I am going to have to do all these certain tasks. Well, back to your question, I really, really don't like acknowledging employees' birthdays. I really don't like figuring out, you know, why someone's printer doesn't work. I really would rather shoot myself than talk to the credit card company and negotiate fees. And so I have people that I've brought on who like that. So we have one lady, we call her Mom Thrive, Mom Thrive 15. Yeah, that's our company. But Hannah, basically, I think Hannah's been touching base with you. She loves people's birthdays. She's probably more excited that you're having a birthday than you are. And she loves making sure everybody has all the natural, organic, healthy drinks in the fridge. She loves making sure that people feel acknowledged. She loves organizing the team talent show. She loves fixing the printer so you can print like you're having a holiday of printing, just print, 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 print. She loves that. And so I had to find her who loves that to do things that I don't want to do. Now, I don't want to ever hire someone who doesn't want to do tasks and make them do them, because then they're in purgatory and I'm in purgatory because I'm forcing them to do it. So I try to hire people that fill needs I have, not I don't try to hire people that fill the needs I have. I don't try to hire people and then force them to adjust to my needs. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. That does make sense. And is that different now from when you were in a DJ business and you didn't have the infrastructure around you?
Yeah, I don't
want- what was in any of your businesses you owned, what was the first person you hired?
Okay.
And sort of why did you do that?
Okay. Well, the first business I had, remember, I was working construction. So we go from construction, time warp. Now we're over here into the DJ business, and I needed a dude. I needed a dude to type confirmations. So if I met with the bride and groom and they paid me a deposit for a $600 or $700 wedding package, I would email them a confirmation. Well, I got to a point where I could book, it sounds crazy to believe, but I could book 11 to 12 weddings a day by myself, face-to-face appointments, 11 to 12 a day.
Wow.
But the paperwork, bro, I would be like typing confirmations till 10 o'clock at night. And I realized I've got to identify my biggest limiting factor, because all these successful people are saying I need to do that. You identify your biggest limiting factor and you blow it up, and this never stops your whole career. And so I needed a dude. And so my wife and I were talking, and I'm like, honey, I need a dude. And she's like, what kind of dude? I mean, I just want a dude. Well, why not a girl? Because I, you know, we're married and the guy needs to work in our house and I just need a dude. So I found a dude who was really into legalizing pot. That wasn't why I hired him, but that's the deal, right?
It's a side benefit, I guess.
I hired the guy, and he was like, so, bro, so you're like, you won't ask a lot of questions, right, bro? You know? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You do whatever you want to do in your van. He had a huge van. You do whatever you want in your van. You go to your normal protests, and you do your whole make pot legal thing you're doing. And all I ask you to do is type these confirmations and don't freak out. Just remain calm and send those, you know, remain calm and invoice on, you know, send those confirmations. And so he would come in every day. I'm not kidding. He wore sandals. I had made him wear a suit, you know, because we were a wedding service. So he literally would wear a suit with sandals. And he's like, hey, bro, man, I got all the confirmations typed. Is it cool if I go out to my van? And I'm like, yeah, sure, dude, sure. And that's the relationship we had for about the first year.
Wow.
Now, over time, I started realizing I need a guy who does more than just type confirmations. I need a guy who can maybe do some sales presentations. So then I went to a place called Golf USA, and I went to every place I could think of that has a good retail sales team. And I go into Golf USA, and I found their top sales guy there, and I hired him. Boom. And then I went to the Starbucks, and I hired that dude, and boom. And I went to, and I just basically went to all the retailers who'd already trained these people. And I basically said, hey, I would like to pay you 50 cents or a dollar more an hour than what you currently make. Do you want to come join the dark side? And one by one, I got people on the team. But I just looked for really good people at really good businesses.
Nice. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to move on to projects if we can.
Sure.
Projects is a loose term, can mean sort of anything you guys are going to take on at Thrive 15 at this point.
Yeah.
So is there a process that you guys go through at this point, or you go through personally even, of deciding a project of some direction that you want to take, or something that you want to, way you want to move into, or something you want to start?
Now, this is a podcast, so I'm going to give you kind of a visual and hope everybody in the audience can kind of mentally marinate on this idea. But if you have this triangle and you can imagine kind of the triangle at the bottom of the triangle, at the very, very base of that triangle, you have this idea, this concept called your mission. You know, your mission. For Thrive, our mission is to mentor millions with powerful and practical training from millionaires and everyday success stories. That's what we do, okay? Provide powerful training, mentorship to millions. So everything that doesn't align with that mission, we don't do it. So at the very rock, the foundation is the mission. So if somebody says, hey, Clay, can you do a, I get this talk all the time, and people call me all the time, and I get sort of shark tanked, and they'll come to me and say, could you come do a speaking event? It's for this multi-level group. And if you'll speak here, we'll pay you, you know, a certain speaking fee, and then you'll get a certain percentage of anything that someone buys. And I'm going, well, I don't really believe in your product though. And they're like, no, but we'll pay you. And I'm like, no, but, and because it doesn't align itself with my mission, it would cause me dissonance or a feeling of guilt psychologically, where there's that, you know, if you say your values are over here, but you do something else, it creates that feeling of guilt, otherwise known as dissonance. Mm-hmm. And so the mission is the filter that I look at everything through. Then after you add the mission, you add your values. So your mission is basically why you get up every morning. And then your values, the next level on the triangle, as you, kind of this pyramid, as you work your way up the pyramid, is your values. And your values are how you do things. So at Thrive, you know, I'm really into how do we do it? It has to be practical. It has to be stuff. It's like a how-to video on search engine optimization, a how-to on accounting, a how-to on how to raise capital, how to do sales. So I don't ever want to interview somebody on Thrive who won't teach the audience how to do something. Otherwise, if someone logs on to thrive15.com and makes an account and they're just getting a bunch of philosophy, that's cool, but that's what Charlie Rose is for, or that's what TED Talks is for, or, you know, so how? And then we move up the chain, it gets even more narrow, and we start to moving into, once you get to the mission and you get the values, now we get into our processes, our policy, and our policies. And so if somebody can't work on our schedule and they can't follow our policies and our processes, then they're not a good fit. And then the final little thing at the top is this wonderful thing called self-actualization that my main man Maslow wrote about. And the idea is that I end up feeling good and our customers feel good because we offered them a great experience. And so today, when I got a 2-page email from a Thriver, we call them, who has told me he literally in the last 12 months has been able to increase his income and decrease his, he's increased his income by about 30% and decreased his expenses by a little less than 10%. That to me is the highlight, you know?
Yeah.
That's the end result. And so that's how I do it. So anybody listening, I would encourage you to write down your mission for your life. What is your mission? Then write down your values. Then be thinking about your processes and policies. Then think about your self-actualization. What do you really want to get to? And just make sure if you work at a company, hey, when I worked construction, it was the craziest thing in the world. And I got to be honest with you, I hated every minute of it. But I knew that I was not going to be there long term. It was just a way to get where I want to go. Where you start to really struggle is when you're working someplace, you don't share the mission, and you decide that you're just stuck. So even if you work in someplace you don't like, be the best employee you can possibly be. And maybe someone will notice you and you'll get promoted out of the problem. Or maybe you'll get hired by somebody else. But don't do the worst. You don't want to get fired, you know, at the bottom. You want to over-deliver and work your way up to the top of the company or to get promoted or hired from someone else.
Wow. I love it. So almost 100 interviews, and that is by far the best answer to that question I've got.
Oh.
I typically get, oh, it's a gut feeling. I don't really know how I do it.
Now, again, you're talking to a man. What happens is I'm not exaggerating. I've literally had, like right now, if I look at my client roster, I'm working with a pharmacy. I'm working with an orthodontist. I'm working with a cosmetic dentist. I am working with a public speaker. I'm working with a guy who, he's really involved in the whole law of attraction movement. Mm-hmm. I'm working with a guy who's a fitness trainer. I'm working with a guy who trains pro athletes. I'm working with a lady who sells cookies, gourmet cookies. I'm working with a wedding cake business. I'm working with a bridal dress store. I'm working with, I go on and on. I work with these people and they all are people. I'm working with a contractor. I'm working with a roofer. And all of these companies, we've been able to help them either double or grow in sale, like grow their profit by at least double within an 18-month period of time. And it's not because I'm a genius, but it's because I literally take every client through the same process and it just works. And so I've been doing this for, you know, a decade. And so I've really refined the process in a scalable way that I think anybody with a semi-functional mind like myself, I took algebra 3 times. So anybody with a semi-functional mind can do this. You don't have to be a genius.
Yeah. Even just drawing it out in that triangle, which I did as you were describing it.
Yeah.
Just to visualize it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I'll tell you. If anybody's listening to this, I do want to recommend a book that I didn't write. So it's a very altruistic recommendation. But I recommend that you read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, because it will get you, it'll help you find your mission. It'll help you do that. And then as you find your mission, that next thing is your values. And I highly recommend you read the book Scale by Hoffman, Hoffman. It's the guy who started Priceline.com. I recommend you read that, and that'll help you get your whole values there. And then the next thing is processes and policies. I would highly recommend you read The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. And then the final one is that whole thing, self-actualization we were talking about. And I would highly recommend you read really, really, I mean, just don't take this recommendation lightly, because you might go, well, that book doesn't make any sense. But I would highly recommend that you begin to read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, because as you read that book, you'll start to realize why you like people and why you don't, and kind of you'll learn some things about yourself. And I think it will help you have the true self-actualization that we all look for.
Oh, I love it. Great recommendations. Absolutely. All right. So we're going to end off on something I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So you've come from construction, Clay, and now you are working with amazing people, from like contractors to pharmaceuticals or orthodontists, to also mentoring millions with Thrive 15.
Yeah.
So there's this thing that I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, which is as entrepreneurs, we are always looking forward, always pushing for more. We set 5 goals, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years out.
Yeah.
Before we even get to those goals, we set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future and we're pushing and pushing. In 6 months, when I get there, everything will be better. In a year, when I get there, everything will be better.
Yeah.
We fail to stop,
true that,
turn around and look at what it is we've accomplished and where it is we've come from and what we've done to this time. So I would love, Clay, if you could right now stop, turn around, look at what you've accomplished, where you've come from and where you are today, and tell me how you feel about that.
Well, I mean, receiving the Entrepreneur of the Year award from the Small Business Administration was obviously a flattering or a kind of a proud achievement, being able to share the stage and, you know, speak in events where you're, you know, speaking and Joe Montana's there, or people tell you, hey, you know, you are better than John Maxwell. I mean, those are fun things to hear. I love when people, you know, you love the emails where someone says they've seen Zig Ziglar and they liked your talk just as much or better. I mean, that's what you look for as a, you know, that kind of makes you feel good. But the thing I would just say is that because I'm a time management junkie, I literally every single Monday, I have blocked off a 4-hour window of time and I will stop and I look at my schedule and I do exactly what you just said. I look at it and I go, okay, am I happy with where I'm at? And what areas of my life am I not happy with? And I literally block off 4 hours and I sit there for 4 hours of power and I work through and I only schedule time for things that matter. And so I can tell you, if I look back at my life, I'm very proud that we now do every Friday for the last, 5 years. I take my wife and kids out for dinner. Every Saturday, I do a date with my wife. Every Sunday, I do family time with my mom and dad. And I don't have a life of regret because I've scheduled those things that matter. And that's the biggest call to action that I could just say for anybody listening, is you've got to schedule time for what matters. You know, if you want to work out, book a time, book it, schedule it, block it off. If you want to take your wife on a date or take your husband on a date, block it off. If you want to, for me, I want to hit on my wife. I want to take her to Home Depot. I want to take her to Lowe's. I want to kind of get arrested for making out in the parking lot. And I've got to schedule time for that because we have 5 kids. And if we get to go to Lowe's, that's a hot date, right? So, I mean, I've got to block off time for that stuff. And I'm just saying is that I know it seems crazy, but when you have 5 kids and you have 9 different businesses like I have, life gets busy, like you just said. It gets very, very busy. But if we'll just schedule time for what matters and we say, hey, every Friday, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm going to turn down business. I'm going to say no to that client because I know on Friday night, my kids are expecting me to take them out for pizza. Then we live a life without regret. And that's the biggest thing, because being an entrepreneur doesn't give you a hall pass to neglect your faith, your family, and your finances. You've got to schedule time for your faith, family, finances, and fitness. You got to do it. Boom.
Nice. Nice. I love it. All right, Clay, this has been a lot of fun, and we've got to talk a lot about you and your business in passing. Can you specifically tell the listener where they can find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, the thing is, if you have a business and you're wanting to grow it, if you go, I just can't make my business grow. Oh, and you've paid all this, you've gone to the seminars, you've bought all the books, you just can't make it grow. If you want to start a business and you just don't know where to start, you feel overwhelmed and you're just like, holy crap, where's an owner's manual for how to start a business? Or if you work at a job and you're like, I'm stuck and this job is sucking my soul, I highly recommend you go on to thrive15.com. You go up there, and when you get up there, go ahead and just log on. You get a 30-day free trial. You just log on there. You can sign up for the free trial. And when you do that, it's just unbelievable because you'll be able to, in 30 days, you'll actually learn what you don't know. And all the teachers we have, they're millionaires, they're mentors. So you can learn PR, sales, marketing, accounting, anything you've ever wanted to know, how to optimize a website, how to build a website. It's all up there and it's done in an entertaining format. So you'll laugh and you'll learn. And I promise it'll be a life change. I don't mean that lightly. It will be a life changing, transformative experience. And worst case scenario, we charge you $49.
Excellent. Excellent. Thrive15.com. I'll put a link to that in the show notes so it's easy to find. Clay is also on Twitter. And I'm also going to link to Think and Grow Rich, Scale, The Ultimate Sales Machine, and How to Win Friends and Influence People, because those are great recommendations, Clay. So again, Clay, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. This has been a lot of fun, and please just keep doing what you're doing because it's inspiring and awesome to watch.
Hey, have a blessed day, my friend. Thank you for all you do for your listeners. I pick up on the passion and I just think it's awesome. You're sacrificing your time to bless people. It means the world to me. Thank you for doing it.
My pleasure. Thank you. That was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did.
There's something about talking to a really smart entrepreneur who is also a coach to other entrepreneurs, because there's this certain skill that I'm not sure, but there's a certain skill of explaining things and having sort of exercises you can go through to sort out what it is you are going through in life and in your business. And Clay has a real sort of just an excellent, I don't want to say innate ability, because it's something he's worked at. It's something any of us could work at, but he's really worked at it, and it's really grown and blossomed into something very, very valuable. And that made for a very, very interesting conversation. But then I go back, I go through the conversation, and there was this thing that Clay said, and it stuck out. It just stuck out to me. I couldn't get it out of my head. It'd probably be the same for you, right? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
We could all list the unexpected things that life throws at us. Let's just have a sense of reverence for our life for a second, and let's play the game that we only have a year left. Write down all the things we want to do during that year. And then next to them, I want you to put how much it costs. And people say, well, it doesn't cost anything to spend time with my kids. And I say, well, you know, actually it does, because your mortgage is what your mortgage is. And if you're going to take a day off, you still have to pay the mortgage or whatever your costs are.
And that's the hack. Yes, yes, yes. Clay, we do need to have that sense of reverie for life and what it does for us. Because as we all know, I mean, Clay had two horrible examples, but they're not that out of the blue. They're not that crazy. They're not that. Unfortunately, we all go through that stuff. We all have loved ones that get into car accidents or get sick, or things happen. Things happen quick. It's life. It's how it goes. And we do have to know this. This is an excellent exercise that I want you to do. I want you to decide what it is that you want to do in the next year, and then figure out what it's going to cost you. This is an awesome, awesome exercise. I've had people go through this exercise where, for the next year, tell me where you want to be in 6 months, and tell me where you want to be in a year in your business and personally. Ignore everything. Ignore work. Ignore anything else. But just tell me, if everything could be perfect and you worked as hard as you could work, where would you want to be? These are good exercises to do. So Clay does a really awesome one there, and really gets you. I mean, this goes sort of to my whole the entrepreneurial gap thing, right? We have to focus on where we are. We really do have to just work within today sometimes. We have to push. Yes, we have to push forward, of course, and we have to look back, but we also have to be today. And so this is a great exercise. Please do this, because Clay is a smart, smart man, and this exercise really, really works. So I want to thank you for that, Clay, and everyone else can go find you at The Clay Clark on Twitter, and also thank you after they do this exercise. All right. It's been a lot of fun, as always. It's just, I love that you're out there. I love that we get to spend this time together. And yeah, if you'd like to reach out to me, John, J-O-N, at Hack the Entrepreneur, I would love to hear from you. If you're on an iPhone and you have a chance, or if you're on your computer right now and you have a chance, go to iTunes. Leave me a rating and a review for the show. It would help so much. If you're on any one of the other devices out there, Stitcher.com is the best place. You can look up Hack the Entrepreneur or John Nastr, and you will find the show. A rating and review helps so much, gets me more amazing guests like Clay. And I will truly, truly, truly appreciate it. So thank you. Have a great day. And as always, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.